You are entering the liminal space between seasons 1 and 2, where recaps will guide all listeners forward, but may spoil parts of season 1 for the uninitiated. You have been warned. We recommend all aspiring dream hackers listen to our new first episode, Cipher, Sabotage Exposed, for a full body experience. Good luck, Denizen.
What would you do if, like me, you received a recording of a customer support phone call placed by someone you know after they died? On the heels of the award-winning first season of Hellgate City sprouts the next chapter, Season 2, codename Companion, for reasons you'll soon understand. It begins, as gruesome tales often do, with a deadly laser. Yet, unlike the aquamarine beam of a laser blade held to your throat as you're dangled over the edge of a 300-story skyscraper roof, the blue of this ray promises to cut through your psyche. If it burns an image into your brain of a phantasmagorical dystopian underworld never before seen in audio, don't say I didn't warn you. I'm Kirby Bevins. What's in a box? Most of our parcels these days, in Hebrew year 6021, come cocooned in artificial spider silk, natch. But back in the olden days, we were a lot like Dimension Earth in the early 2000s. They reveled in grinding up the flesh of their seemingly endless supply of trees to make so many cardboard boxes, they were simultaneously used to house the homeless and shredded for entertainment in ruthless unboxing videos, not unlike what you're about to hear. Only this one's different. My team found and extracted the following footage at great risk to myself and my family. So listen to it carefully. It should give you pause.
Hey nerds, it's me, Barney Z. Long time, no upload. I had some family stuff. Anyway, last week an anonymous person sent me this package. In it are two objects. One, a stack of 50 Blu-ray discs, and two, a single Polaroid photograph of a dentist's waiting room, decorated in the style of the late 1970s. And okay, I don't know about you, but photographs of empty rooms from that time period remind me of serial killers. So yeah, I was creeped out. Maybe I've been watching too many videos about John Wayne, Ted, Albert, and Zilbert. Like, will watching one of these DVDs scar me for the rest of my life? Now, before you click away because you think this is just a hoax, let me finish, because it gets way worse. But not in the way you think. Printed on the back of the Polaroid in tiny font, it says, quote, Companion Systems Customer Support Department Call Record 3715. Call starts July 17th. And yes, pay attention closely, because this is where it gets weird. July 17th, 2024, 09:53:04 a.m. Yeah, that would be next summer. It gets even weirder, so hang on. Call ends August 7th, 2029, 18:06:59 p.m. Now, we're in bonkers territory. Get this, because as far as I know, the longest customer support call on record is from Zappos in 2012, and it only lasted 19 hours. This call lasted over 43,000 hours. Yeah, that's almost 5 years. Oh, and at the bottom, it says 6014-0717-9160906. Anyways, I almost forgot. Get this. The final line reads, quote, customer relationship terminated the following business day. Terminated? Listen, I don't know about you, but terminated doesn't seem like business lingo to me.
Barney's right. Terminated sounds bad. But that's not the half of it. Guess who the customer was? I'll give you a minute to mull it over in your digi brain. Meanwhile, here's what we know. The Polaroid picture of a waiting room portrays the simulation in which he was trapped. The spool of Blu-rays contains a recording of his call with the support department. There are two more elephants in the room, though. First elephant, yes, that was a 17-year-old Barney Zieglitz, my former self, body, etc., if Dad is to be believed. I ripped the audio we just heard from a YouRube video Barney posted in Queens, New York, summer of 2023. Earth Dimension, duh. Now, some of you may recall the specific conversation where, right before Dad succumbed to the demon beast, he claimed to have swapped my 12-year-old Barney consciousness with the ghost of his criminally deranged son, Kirby 1.0, who was 24 at the time. Hence, how I'm supposedly living in old criminal Kirby's body and dimension, finally a dutiful son, as Kirby 2.0. It's a pretty wild claim, so while I was downloading Barney Z's zip file of the Blu-ray discs across dimensions, I did a little sleuthing on one of Dad's old archives of Earth's internet from around that time. As Earthlings would say, it's bananas how well Dad's story of the mind swap lines up with Earth's data about an eerie blue light over New York. I was able to dig up the following corroborating details right before our ISP throttled Lonnie's cyberdeck to dust. Sorry, honey. Wait, where's my file? Oh, no. Look, I'm going to have to do some data retrieval. We'll come back to this, I promise. Suffice it to say, we may need more evidence to prove Barney's consciousness literally exploded through the space-time continuum into the Dearth dimension. However, let's assume it did. Just for schlitz and chuckles, let's say my consciousness entered the body of Outlaw Kirby on 27 December 6008 via Hellgate portal, like my father insisted. And Outlaw Kirby's consciousness was swapped into my old Barney body on Earth the night of December 27th, 2018. But if that's true, then why does Barney sound like a regular teenager and not a homicidal scofflaw from an alternate future? Did the ghost of Kirby 1.0 get its memory wiped clean as I did? Is he putting on an act? Or are we missing some other important piece of the puzzle? I don't have answers yet. What I do have is a ginormous stack of audio files culled from those Blu-ray discs, which we are slowly decrypting. They broke up the call into a million tiny chunks. So what you're about to hear features an excerpt of one chunk of our mystery caller talking to customer service in the digital afterlife for 5 years straight. It's impossible to fathom, but we have receipts. Enough speculation. Here's a tidbit to whet your appetite. Write your guess of who you think the customer is on a scrap of paper and Celex me. winner gets a free one-month supply of Weatherby's Weather Vane lubricant. Not a promotion, I just gotta get rid of this stuff before it expires.
Get me your manager.
Sir, in order to do that, I have...
I understand, Persephone.
Do you? Because that's not my name.
I'm sorry. You keep breaking up.
It's Persephone. Capable of... You stated, is there a reason why you have a problem with me doing it?
It was the way you said it, you know? You said you'll try to get this done by 5 p.m. Try? 5? 5 means nothing to me. Do you know how long I've been on this call?
47 minutes.
Yes, since I was transferred to you, but before that, 517 hours. May I speak with your supervisor or not? Because if not, I know. Could you put me in touch with my son? What's his number? Look up a...
I'm afraid we can't do that, sir. There's no way to conference in a third party without phone credits on your account. Now, hold on. Before I transfer you, can you confirm that you are to a supervisor?
I know you're a supervisor. You're just not the supervisor I need.
Placing you on an indeterminate hold. I'll stay here as long as I can, but this will be out of my hands.
Very well. Persephone.
All right. For whatever reason, only a handful of you messaged me, and some of it was kind of mean. And whoever promised to sprinkle powdered radioisotopes on my donuts if we release this, I hope that's a euphemism. If it's a threat, look out. Lonnie and I share donuts, and she will kill you. But if you guessed our mystery caller was none other than my deceased father, Thornton Bevins, back from the dead as a disgruntled customer in the afterlife, you were right. And yes, it appears Companion Systems uploaded Dad's mind to a server, or put his brain on ice and wired it into their network. A years-long call? Years? That's crazy. What scoundrels? I mean, how could you do that to somebody? Ugh. And I know it's selfish, but I'm personally flabbergasted he stuck it out that long, since he rarely called me when he was alive. And don't get me wrong, there's a lot more to it than that particular excerpt. Trust me. He has these mind-bending, hyper-real visions of Neo-Amsterdenizens who don't know they're being spied on. Some of the stuff he witnesses is enough to make an android's synthetic skin crawl. So broadcasting this season might ruffle some feathers in Hellgate City. You'll hear what I mean in the next episode. And if you were paying attention during season one, you're probably wondering about our ratings. Did we pump them up 10 points in 90 days and win back my health insurance? Drum roll, please. Indubitably, our numbers are up 10 points in less than 90 days. Actually, 11 points.
This one goes to 11.
But it turns out the numbers need to be inflation adjusted, which means we're actually 2 points short.
Womp womp.
So why am I even talking about this trek? Because yes, WNAD did indeed continue the suspension of my health insurance, contingent upon hitting the same target next quarter. So it blows. As for Thornton's comeback, it does appear that the Neo-Amsterdamian side of his call ended in June of 6019. About 2 years ago. Shortly thereafter, Companion Systems shut down. Terminated indeed. It's bittersweet to think I could have talked to Dad after he died, but I never got the chance. Not sure how he kept it together, being stuck on hold with the support staff of a fly-by-night biotech health insurance firm. Though I can easily picture him abusing a generous customer service policy so badly that he got deleted from a digital afterlife platform. Dinglemorph. That reminds me, we skipped the second elephant in the room regarding the unboxing video. Why was that call recorded with an Earth-based timestamp and date, as well as a dearth-based one. I'll have to circle back to that and the results of my investigation into the blue light in New York in a future update. In the meantime, if you have access to the internet on Earth, search, quote, blue light over New York, end quote, and tell me, what's your theory about what caused that spectacular and baffling phenomenon in 2018? Wrong answers only. Respond to the Q&A on our Spotify page and we'll share the best ones. Next up is the first proper episode of the season, Tabula. I think that's Latin for tablet. May you digest it to completion, unless it's the other kind of tablet. Don't eat devices, Cyber Sister. And may the digital gyre extinguish your enemy's fire. Bevins, out.
Screaming Panda presents Unboxing, Episode 11 of Hellgate City. It introduces Season 2. Codename Companion. Kevin Berry wrote, performed, directed, sound designed, and produced it and its music in a medium-sized box. Elias Danger Hoffman guest stars as Barney Zieglitz. The Glitch in the Matrix bonus story that goes with this chapter is titled Boxed In. It's available on the show's Patreon at patreon.com/Hellgate City. Because we forbid ads and sponsors, our supporters keep this show humming. In return, they get bonus stories every week, as well as behind-the-scenes content, music, and more. For example, Dreamwalkers time travel 1 week into the future to hear early episodes. For transcripts, visit hellgatecity.com. Find us on social media at Hellgate City. And if you liked the show, take a moment to rate and review it on Spotify and Apple. Then exit the box you are in, if you can.